Blog Talk Radio.
Character. The guy that founded Cornell University, Ezra Cornell, born on this date, first Prime Minister of Canada. Now, Canada, during the American Civil War, the Canadians, who were still a part of the British Empire, were concerned about the North winning, and then Americans have twice invaded Canada, first during the Revolutionary War with Benedict Arnold, and we were defeated. Second time was in the War of 1812 when he sent up our worst general, Dearborn, and he got his butt kicked. And of course, what happens? We named a city Dearborn, Michigan, and a street in Chicago, Dearborn Street. we've done stranger things even in San Francisco, where they named buildings after drug dealers, sexual predators, anti-Semites. We'll get into that another day. So anyway, after the during the American Civil War, toward the end, the Canadian politicians got together in Newfoundland and decided to put together the Confederation of Canada. The first Prime Minister was a guy named Sir John Macdonald, and he was, a conservative. And Canadian politics have gone back and forth between the Liberals and the Conservatives. The current Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, is from the West. And, of course, there's always been the problem of Quebec. And the Quebecers have defined themselves as the Blanc Negre. This is their phrase, or the white niggers. That's their phrase. I'm just describing what they feel about themselves, how they've been treated by the English Canadians. Among the other birthdays, William James, the author, romantic Swedish composer. We don't hear much of, besides Alfvén's Swedish Rhapsody and a few other things, we rarely hear Swedish romantic music. And Christian Sindlin was one of the composers in the 19th century. South African racial equality activist, Alan Paton, not related to General Patton. He wrote Cry, the Beloved Country, and he was white, English, and became a movie. Great actor, Russian composer, a couple of them today. Reinhard Glier, who was actually, I think, French extraction or Belgian, who went to Russia, was born in Russia. And his most famous piece is the Red Poppy Suite. It's not what you think it is. And in it is the Russian Sailor's Dance, and it's a very popular piece of classical music. Great actress, Eve LeGardien, her birthday. The last Jewish Prime Minister of France, Pierre Mendes, France, during the 50s before de Gaulle. He tried to end the Algerian War and the Vietnam War, and he failed. And so he resigned, and then they called for de Gaulle for the second time. interesting actor, Lionel Stander, his birthday. A guy you don't hear whose name in the field of aviation, but Roger Lewis, great aviator. He was involved with Lockheed, Curtiss Wright, which built those very fine warplanes used by the Navy in World War II, and he worked for Pan Am. An English conductor, he's dead now, Alexander Gibson. A guy who did mostly TV documentaries, David Wolper. Actor from Australia, Rod Taylor. We had, talking about Canada, we have Jean Chrétien, who was a liberal prime minister, I think, about 15 years ago, during the, I think, Clinton administration and into the Bush administration. And then we have Lee Ritenour, a great jazz musician, did some composing and arranging, very melodious music. And Sean Connery's son, he had a son, Jason Connery, not as good an actor, I hate to say. Among the deaths today, the guy who wrote our Star Spangled Banner, Francis Scott Key. And here's one of my favorite controversial Union generals, Beast Benjamin Butler, who was the commandant of the Union Army in New Orleans. And the society women would spit on Union soldiers and insult them and pour feces and urine on them. So General Butler said, if you don't stop doing that, we're going to have you labeled as ladies of the night. And they, of course, were outraged and referred to him as Beast Butler. He did run for president. He's one of those political animals, but he lost. This is a Russian composer, very melodious music that he wrote, Kalinnikov, and unfortunately he didn't live long. I think he had died of tuberculosis. Great American writer. I think he the movie, he went to Mexico, Ambrose Bierce, and he wrote, I think, The Devil's Dictionary. It's quite accurate in some of his descriptions. And we think that Field Marshal Erwin Rommel was the first one to use tanks in the African desert. He wasn't. It was an Italian named Rodolfo Graziano, and this was during the Abyssinian War. He was also a war criminal. And one of the things the Italians did was they forbade marriage between Italians and Abyssinians. One of the jokes when we used to hear racial comments from dark skin, curly Italian ethnics, we would say those curls came from somewhere. And then we had, let's see, who else was born? What other events today? Another death, great World War II pilot. He probably flew one of those Curtiss Wright planes in the Pacific. Pappy Boyington. In fact, they made a TV series featuring, I forget his name, he played Pappy Boyington. Among the events today, believe this, the first recorded lottery was in 1569 and was held in St. Paul's Cathedral. And this is one of my pet things. When I worked for the government, one of my jobs was the interception of this type of contraband coming in the United States. That was the Irish sweepstake tickets. Now, we did have a lottery after the American Revolutionary War when they had won the state to raise money to build a road. So maybe it's time for a national lottery to resolve some of the, or help resolve some of the budgetary problems. And then in 1599, the Dutch, who later colonized Indonesia, they discovered pepper, clove, and I don't know what muskrat is, and they brought that back to Europe. And, of course, that's one of the things that made Holland a very wealthy country, including the oil. Incidentally, the richest royal person in the world is not Queen Elizabeth. It's the Dutch queen because of their investments in shale oil, which a lot of the investments came from oil exploration and exploitation, some people say, in Indonesia. In 1789, the first American life insurance company opened in Philadelphia. In 1779, the first Jew was elected to New York government. His name was Francis Salvador. It was probably Sephardic, probably Portuguese or Spanish. Incidentally, the first Jew appointed to the U.S. Supreme, or second, Cardozo, was a Portuguese Sephardic Jewish ethnicity. He didn't practice. In 1803, he later became president. He was Secretary of State in the Madison administration. James Monroe and Robert Livingston, the banker, went to Napoleon in Paris and tried to buy the port of New Orleans. Napoleon needed money, so he sold, and he didn't even think about this, he sold all of the Louisiana territory. What a buy. What a buy. Let's see, in 1803, the Michigan Territory was organized, and of course we have Henry Ford, who was born in Dearborn, Michigan. And pineapples were not native to Hawaii. In 1813, pineapples were planted in Hawaii, and it wasn't by Dole either. In 1861, Alabama became the fourth southern state to secede from the Union. In 1861 also, and this is related to Raul Emerson, his great uncle, Benito Juarez, who was a dark-skinned Indian, he captured Mexico City. There's a famous movie starring Paul Muni, who is the uncle of Michael Thomas, and quite a few of the social relevant films of the 30s. The first livestock newspaper was started in Chicago, and that has the Chicago Board of Trade and Pork Bellies, which incidentally I hear Hillary Clinton is involved in some of that pork. In 1879, the Zulu Wars began against the British. It's a famous movie called Zulu. And then in 1892, another Frenchman went to Tahiti and married a 13-year-old girl. So talk about robbing the cradle. One of the things that, we're continuing with our series on Nixon and political animals. Now, we've had presidents who were musically inclined. Jefferson, I think, played the violin. Harding played the tuba. Harry Truman played the piano. He also had a daughter who couldn't sing, and he got very angry at Paul Hume, the music critic of the Washington Post, who panned Margaret Truman. She's dead now. And he threatened to kick him in the groin. Anyway, Richard Nixon also played the piano and composed. And here is from the from our archives, here's a little clip.
Believe me, the Republicans don't want another piano player in the White House.
That was before the 1968 election. Richard Nixon's piano. I don't think it was ever recorded other than the tape that we had in the archives. We will have more on Nixon because I think he was an underrated president given his perspective. He also served in World War II, as you can see in one of the pictures on this particular blog talk. Show page. He was a lieutenant commander. After the war, he went to Duke University and studied law, passed the bar, and came to California, or came back to California. He was born in Whittier down there in Southern California. Excuse me. Now, among the other issues, and I'm bringing it up again, and you can see a drunken Russian youth. There's a huge alcohol problem in Russia. And we're seeing pregnant women who have this what I think called this alcohol problem, and they're passing this narcosis onto their children, and some of these children are ending up in Russian orphanages, halfway houses, or whatever, and they're being offered for adoption to Americans. I don't know about any Canadians or Australians, but these kids have major problems, and some have caused family marriages to break up. And these kids are being used, and they're being, in effect, dumped on Americans, and they're being sent back. It's unfortunate. And, you know, Russia has a lot of wealth, especially with the new oil and Putin's running things. They should be able to take care of their own. They're not a poor country. A part of Agenda 2013 should be accountability. And Americans, I hear this all the time, are getting tired of reckless, not only reckless drivers and this epidemic of reckless driving, but also reckless bicyclists who pay for nothing. They don't want to pay licensing fees. They don't have insurance. They want all these special parking and not paying parking meters, which they should pay, these special lanes. Some of them want showers in their offices so they can bicycle to work and then take a shower at work. I don't know if they'll be on the clock, but who's paying for this? And more and more the expense of maintaining roads and the maintenance is being passed on, as well as increased ticketing and shortened parking is being passed on to people who have automobiles and trucks. And these are the people who contribute to the economy. You know, we're not talking about bicycle messengers. We're talking about this latte leisure class who has all this disposable income for expensive coffee, wines, boutique beers, expensive gourmet meals, and those who are into drugs, cocaine, and they can travel, and they can buy the latest fashions and go to the concerts. You know, it's becoming a spoiled class, aristocratic class, which wants everything and then some, but doesn't want to pay for anything. It's time to end that. On this, our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, we have a San Francisco police car, the new Shadow, and I just happened to be driving by, and we saw this police car rear-ended. You don't see that very often, but it's part of this epidemic of reckless driving that's going on in here in San Francisco and in Northern California. We think to reduce automobile insurance premiums and costs to everybody. It's not only to the insurance companies, but it's also to people who have auto insurance and are safe drivers. So the public policy question is, should drivers responsible for accidents be required to retake driver's licensing tests, both road and written, and pay the DMV fees? You know, we've got to do something about it, because once you've been injured, especially if you're older, you know, you never fully recover. So we have that. Excuse me. So we are going to hopefully have, he's not related to General Butler, but we're going to have an update on the best politics in America. And as I always say, Illinois politics is not like the pansy politics of San Francisco and some of these enclaves in California. Patrick is the dean of Illinois Political Reporters, been doing it for over 50 years. He knows where a lot of the bodies are buried, who buried them, why they're buried, and who may be next. Excuse me, I still have this, the end of this flu. I was one who didn't get the flu shot because every time I've had it in the past, I get sick, so I decided to take my chances. And a growing number of people are also taking that attitude. So we're going to have more on Nixon, some interesting things he had to say about immigration, and of course he opened Red China. If Hubert Humphrey had been elected in 1968, he would not have been able to do that. Also keep in mind, NPR brought this up after Obama was, quote, reelected this past November. NPR brought up the Nixon-McGovern campaign of 1972, and within 2 years, Nixon was facing impeachment or forced to resign. He chose to resign. So I don't know if they are hinting at anything, but you can read into it whatever you want. I found it interesting that they brought it up, and having been in public radio, knowing how left-wing generally that NPR and public radio is and was, and there's some of us trying to change this. So we're going to end with our usual theme, politics and poker and no pig bellies.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better. Alice, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot, that's me.
Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And we're going to end a little early. I've got this bloody end of the flu. I hope those of you who have it get well soon, too. So have a safe weekend. And sip, don't swill. Good night.